This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Matt Nable previews Origin 3, we give each NRL team their mid-year report card, and we pay fitting tribute to Cameron Smith's 400th game. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You're playing games with my heart. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit the Boys live from the Craig Gower Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. You can find us on Instagram, FCTTBpodcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who this week entered into a celebrity spat with Taylor Swift. He's a man who's been named as on the top five influencers on MySpace. And tonight, he's wearing thin. Welcome, Sid.
Yeah, thank you very much, former. Hello, Australia. I got to be honest, I'm pretty sick of Taylor Swift. She's written now 3 songs about me. She won't stop trying to contact me on my MySpace page. Let it go, Tay-Tay. It's over.
Now, just in other news from this week, was it wrong of you to put out your 5-page document on how to shelve pingers into music festivals on the week the inquest into drugs in music festivals was coming out?
I stand by my decision.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan James.
I'm Vivian Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
First story comes from thesun.co.uk, and it's dog owner threw stick for his pooch to fetch, but he came back with a dildo.
Yeah, nice. I'm glad you've learnt how to say the word dildo. It's taken a while.
I ordered 3 this week. A dog owner threw
a fire extinguisher.
I thought it was something for me dog to fetch.
I'll have that one on the back wall. That's a fire extinguisher,
I'll
sir.
I'll have that tartan one. That's me thermos. A dog owner threw a stick for his pet to fetch, and he came back with a sex toy. Said security card. Security guard, Gabe Barr, 44, only realised the 8.5-inch fanny flogger was in fact in Steve the English Bull Terrier's chops when they went past a pub walking home. He said there was a group of lads having a drink outside. Yeah, they started laughing and pointing. I had a closer look and I realised it wasn't a stick, but a great, big, floppy, stiff, veiny, attractive, pink, lovable penis, he said.
And wasn't that big. I've seen the photos.
And he wouldn't give it up. I broke into a jog to get home as quickly as I could. They then trotted past mourners, leaving a funeral parlour.
Oh, that's awkward.
Prompting an embarrassed apologies from Gabe. He struggled to prize the pink fake phallus from stubborn Steve's mouth in his front garden in Leeds. Let me get this right, Sid.
Yeah.
Gabe got home and decided to wrestle his dog in the front yard over a 9-inch rubber cock. Couldn't make it around the back there, Steve. Couldn't get inside. Nah. Do it in the front yard. After a few attempts, he released his grip and dropped it. It was so embarrassing. He said, I was so embarrassed, I immediately rang the Sun newspaper and got photos of me with my dog chewing on a 9-inch rubber red rocket. The pretend todger, which Steve retrieved from bushes by a local field.
That's where they go.
Just the latest in bizarre items found in his mouth. Let me guess, Sid.
Yeah.
Steve's also come up with 3 butt plugs, a pocket arse, and 2 flashlights. Gabe, who insists he has a long-term girlfriend. Sure he does.
Yeah, where's that bullshit alert button again?
Bullshit alert.
I had to take him to the vets once because he ate a sieve. Well, I said it was a sieve, but it was a massive dildo. He also chewed up an iron, see also, massive dildo. He had he chewed our skirting boards off, massive dildo, and has eaten bras, massive dildo, socks, massive dildo, and underpants with a massive dildo in them. He's a very affectionate dog, but on this occasion, however, we don't want to encourage his loving nature, so we have binned the toy forever.
Yeah, look, my dog, he never brought back anything. You'd throw him a stick and he'd run off. And then I get a phone call from the pound 3 days later, we've got your dog. But he did once shit out a condom. I don't know how that came about. I was away that weekend.
F-C-T-T-B. Influencer, it's not you, is it? Influencer offers used bathwater to thirsty fans and sells out, Sid.
Sells out.
News.com.au report that a woman who has built up a large social media following thanks to her racy selfies has discovered a bizarre way to make quick cash. Anita Weiderbox has been selling jars of gamer girl Bathwater to her 3.9 million followers and are now sold out.
She's quite famous, gamer girl.
Yeah. Hmm. For $43 a piece,
hey?
A popular British cosplayer is making a killing, revealing in a shared post on Instagram the unusual product was out of stock. She said, "Summer Bathwater is out of stock. Like, what the fuck?" She said to her followers. That's the last time we're doing that voice. I will be making some more soon, but it's been No, it won't be. But it'll be honestly, only if I wear the dress. Only it's been honestly a weird couple of days taking so many baths, LMAO said.
I don't know what that means.
I know what it doesn't mean. I didn't expect this many people to be interested, but if you wanted one, they'll be back soon. Widerbox first revealed her weird money-making scheme with fans on Wednesday, describing the bizarre product as something for all you thirsty gamer boys. The post was accompanied by photos that showed the pink-haired influencer sitting in a bath of water wearing a Game Over G-string swimsuit, staring seductively into the camera. Yeah, like that's it, yep. She holds up a little tub in her hand with a label that reads Gamer Girl Bathwater. In another video, presumably to help boost sales, she showed off exactly how the contents of the jar were produced. The clip shows the influencer pulsing her booty in the water and capturing water in a jar as it trickles out from the bottom of her swimsuit. She also licks some of the lids before sealing them for customers.
Have you seen that someone's already called an ambulance? They drank Anita Widerbox's bath water. Yes. And they ended up in the emergency room.
Well, I've also got my very own bath water for sale, Sid, including a video very similar to this where I'm twerking in an old pair of Speedos where the elastic's given way and I catch the water as it rolls off an exposed ball bag.
I know you do. I had to film that.
So far, I've only sold a 2-litre caterer's pack of the water to a user identified as @ToddGreasley. In her online store, she claims the jars are bottled while I'm playing in the bath and adds the disclaimer, "This water's not for drinking, Sid, and it should only be used for sentimental purposes."
Yeah.
Like probably, I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't understand any of this.
Is it when they put the water on the forehead of the kid? Christenings.
Christenings.
Fans of the social media star went nuts for the inventive creation, some labelling it genius, but many thought it was all a bit too much, Sid. "I've pretty much given up on humanity at this point," one said. "This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen." Someone else wrote, "The sad thing is people are actually buying this." Now, Widerbox has over 3,000 patrons, Sid. What are patrons again?
Patreon, yeah.
Have we decided on...
Well, I've got more to say about that in a second.
where users can offer support for as little as $1 a month. But for $7 a month, users can pay for cute and sometimes weird selfies as well as behind-the-scenes access to photo shoots. There's also an X-rated offering where customers can get access to lewd HD photo sets and her personal Snapchat. Yada, yada, yada. The most expensive option is around $3,500 a month, Sid.
Yeah.
But the rewards of subscribing to this are not specified on their site.
Hmm.
Her Instagram feed is filled with racy, raunchy photos and clips, including snaps of Anita topless and posing in lacy lingerie. Now, outside of your own, Sid, whose bathwater would you drink? I mean, I'd imagine Ryan Madison and John Morris.
Oh, 100%.
High on the list, but is there anyone else you can think of?
Amanda Vanstone.
Funnily enough, she's number one on my list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Probably Samantha Armitage.
Oh, I got Tracy Grimshaw.
Yeah, nice. You know who I would.
You'd go this.
I'd pay big money for
Samantha Armitage off the teats of the cash cow. The video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One that I'm fair dinkum about. You know Simone Holtznagel?
No.
She's hot.
Is she?
She's a model. She's hot.
Is she hotter than Barnaby Joyce?
She's a bit hotter than Barnaby Joyce.
Phil Gould?
Simone actually takes milk baths. I don't know this because I follow her on Instagram. I know because I've seen it through my binoculars across the road from her house. But this got me thinking, it's interesting that, what's her name? Anita Widerbox, if that's her real name, thinks that she came up with this idea at the live show. For those of you that were there, I threw little Vaxinot vials into the crowd. I told everyone it had vodka in it.
Jeez, how bitter.
It was actually my ensuite Dunny water. We're going to... We're going to put it in on our big cartel shop. It should sell out, you'd imagine.
Is it Tuesday Dunny Water? Because I think that's the best.
Tuesday evening ensuite Dunny Water. We're going to sell it.
You can stand a spoon up in it.
We're also going to set up a Patreon shindig. I'm going to pose for some topless photos. You get that for only $2 a month, whether you want them or not. I'm going to just email them to you.
$2 a month for topless photos, $4 not to get them. FCTTV. Perth Cafe charged with allegedly selling brownies laced with Mary Joanna?
Not sure.
Okay. This is from sbs.com.au. Oh, so there'll be a bit of porn in this somewhere. A cafe owner has been charged after two young children and their mother ate a brownie allegedly laced with Mary Joanna at his...
It's a medical term.
...at his Perth business. The complainants, known only as Michael and Sharon, told the ABC they went to the Butter Bing Cafe in Woodlands on the 2nd of March. Afterwards, their five-year-old daughter Emily described things as jumping and her vision became impaired. However, in good news for the five-year-old, she finally made complete sense of eagle pickle. The family went to the hospital and soon Sharon began developing similar symptoms while their three-year-old Thomas was just drowsy because he's a long-time user.
Smashing the twisties, though.
Both children, whilst they were in the hospital, said they were stinging for some cheesels before asking to listen to the new John Butler album and doing an interpretive dance. Now, hospital tests showed Sharon and the children had traces of Mary Joanna in their system, they said. Now, Michael, who did not eat the brownie or have symptoms, said he returned to the cafe the next day and bought another brownie. I put it straight to the freezer. I put it straight in the freezer, and then a week or so later, the police came and took that away. What, the freezer? He told the ABC Radio. Looks like we've got a real detective on our hands.
Yeah.
Analysis of one brownie confirmed the presence of THC, Sid. What's that? Another.
It's an additive.
Cannabinoids.
I can't have it. I'm allergic to gluten.
Tolerant. A spokeswoman for the City of Stirling Council said, it's not known how the Mary Joanna allegedly came to be in the brownie. Now, following an investigation, business owner Nathan Sharp, not so, trading as Butter Bing Cafe, was charged by the council under the Food Act with two counts of selling food that was unsuitable on 2nd of March and 3rd of March. In good news for Mr. Sharp, his new Byron Bay store is currently ranked in the top 10 businesses in Australia, said. We can assure our residents and community that we have done a thorough investigation, the city spokeswoman Nark said. This appears to be an isolated incident and the city believes it has addressed any potential risk to the community. We go to other cafes or different places now, says Sharon, or even Cook, and my kids ask, does this have Mary Joanna in it as well?
They've been scarred, these kids.
Oh, no. Butter Bing Cafe is a family business run by Mr. Sharp and his wife, Simona, and they have four young children named Moonbeam, Leaf, Alchemy, and Indio. Ms. Sharp said they'd cooperated with police who had not laid charges, and they were most disappointed to learn of the council charges via the radio. Mr. Sharp is scheduled to face Perth Magistrate Court on 19th of July.
Well, the Perth coppers, to their credit, have done a very thorough investigation. The senior constable there has been gorging on these things for weeks now, making sure that he thoroughly investigates.
Well, further to that, I'm of the understanding that Freddie Fittler still hasn't left Perth. NRL round 16, it was eye gouge round, Sid. On Thursday night, the Dragons went close but couldn't overcome the storm, going down 14-12 at Coke Cockwash Stadium. Now, with both sides hit hard by the representative drain, Cameron Smith, playing his 399th first grade game, guided his side around Coke Cockwash Stadium with his kicking game and game management overall. In wet and windy conditions, the game went down to the wire. For the second week in a row, a Smith penalty goal with 5 minutes remaining gave his side the victory, provisionally extending the Storm's NRL winning streak to 7. The Storm were missing 627 NRL games of experience, but the Dragons were even more affected by injury in origin, with players representing 1,224 games not available for selection.
Yeah, the Dragons started strongly with an easy barge over try from Lattimore, the try-scoring machine. He's now scored 7 tries in 11 seasons of first grade. An amazing strike rate.
Oh, this was that highlight tape? 2 minute short, YouTube short video.
This was a topsy-turvy game. Both teams trading penalty goals to keep it even. Melbourne scored in a great try by Jerome Hughes from some great lead-up work from Bromwich. Then, one of our favourites, Makeli Ravalawa. scored a great try, but in the end, the Storm were just too good.
Well, according to Full Grit the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab, knee-capping Craig and his sickly brother, soft-crapping Carl, Storm second rower Joe Stimson probably had his best game in first grade. Not only did he score a try, he finished with 34 tackles, 87 running metres, a line break and 4 tackle busts.
Yeah, he had a great game. It was also great to see Billy Walters make his debut.
It was.
Kevy Walters handed his son his first top-grade jersey. In a great rugby league story.
Did he mention St. George in his speech, or was he not allowed to say their names?
Didn't mention them. During the week on Fox, Gordon Tallis actually broke down in tears when talking about the Walters family. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Billy making his debut, about how Billy lost his mum to breast cancer when he was young, and Kevy raised Billy without his mum Kim. So it was a great moment for the Walters family.
In this game, Craig Bellamy passed Wayne Bennett to achieve an amazing stat when the win notched up Bellamy's 300th in the NRL in what was only his 437th coached game. He not only becomes the fourth coach to reach the milestone, he overtakes Wayne Bennett on 457 games as the fastest coach to get to 300.
Yeah, he was very humble after the game. He said that what makes a good coach is good players and two sets of salary cap books. He also said
Harvey Norman cap vouchers.
He also said that everyone should cheer Cam Smith this week. They're just such likeable blokes down there in Melbourne.
Friday, and the West Tigers competed all night before going down to the Roosters in an entertaining game at Wank Best Stadium, 24 points to 16.
Wasn't that entertaining?
Yeah, good point. A return to footy for Luke Keary and a return to form for Latrell Mitchell were enough for the Roosters to come from behind to beat the Tigers. Now, Keary, who was playing his first match in 6 weeks.
Why does he have to come back against the Tigers?
Because it's written in stone or something that everyone does.
It certainly is.
I believe Clive Churchill's coming back this week against the Tigers.
No, he probably would.
It's been a long layoff. He'll be fresh.
He'd still run round us.
He'd be fresh. The corpse of Churchill. Hard to stop 10 out.
Move on.
Hell of a step. Keary, who was playing his first match in 6 weeks since yet another concussion, threw the final pass for 3 of the Roosters' 4 tries. Now, the Tigers flipped a 12-8 halftime deficit to a 16-14 lead within a few minutes after the second half break, with wily plays from captain and 5'8 Benji Marshall, who set up tries for former Rooster Paul Momorowski and fellow centre Eason Masters. But the Roosters never stopped trying, and led by Origin discard Mitchell, they ultimately finished with an 8-point winning lead.
Yeah, look, the Tigers tried hard all night. Back-to-back tries, like you say, to Momorowski and Eason Masters in the 43rd and 46th minute. Put the Tigers in front. They were looking pretty good. But the Roosters then scored 12 unanswered points to outlast the Tigers. They were, in the end, just too good.
Latrell Mitchell bagged 26 points earlier in the season against the Tigers, and he didn't disappoint again, according to Full Credit the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab. Brain-mashing Martin and his carb-loading brother, potato-mashing Marco. He scored a try and 4 goals with that to go with 7 tackles, 81 running metres, 3 line breaks and 5 tackle busts.
Yeah, he should be playing Origin. If they were without Latrell, Teddy, Cordner, their back rowers and a couple of their front rowers, we might have had a chance.
Keary, Cromb.
It was good to see Roosters discards my boyfriend Ryan Madison and Paul Momorowski score tries against their old team. It's normally ex-West Tigers players scoring against us, but the Tigers needed a bit of luck out there to beat the Roosters, who are a cut above us, let's be honest. We got lucky with the Masters try, but there were some strange decisions in this game.
Well, I'm glad you said
over
that.
This whole weekend.
While the right team won on the night, Sid, I'm pretty sure we can both say that.
You can say that.
The refereeing in this game left a lot to be desired. Now, Henry Perineum, in particular, wasn't at his best, with a number of no calls and mistakes punctuating the game. In the lead-up to one of the Roosters' tries, a Victor Radley charge down was ruled to be not played at.
Bullshit.
And then moments later, Joey Manu took a carry in and appeared to have dragged his boot over the line.
He did.
As the Tigers' defence dragged him towards the touchline. And let's not mention the put-down in the Eason Masters try, which was, well, dubious at best.
Yeah, let's not mention that. The Masters try, I would have given it. But the decisions that went against the Tigers were disgraceful.
# rest fault.
And Harry Perineum needs to be dropped.
Saturday, in a pub out the back.
That's an image you want, in that hairy perineum.
The Knights went down to the Warriors at Ronald McDonald Stadium, 24 points to 20. The Warriors defied their history of blowing games late by actually winning one at the death, with Sam Lassone scoring in the 76th minute to seal the game. But even with 2 minutes to go, the Knights somehow got two sets of six to try and beat the Warriors, but the Newcastle side couldn't find one more try in a game that had everything except good refereeing.
Yeah, it was an entertaining game of footy. The Warriors scoring great tries, swinging the ball to the left each time. They're vulnerable on that right-hand side of the Knights. But the Knights had chances, as you say, at the end, with the Warriors' Parsi getting binned. And he got binned after the full-time siren. The Newcastle horn guy, whatever he is, refusing to blow.
It was 10 seconds after.
He refused to blow the final siren, the cheat. I was counting it down. The crowd gave up.
They went quiet.
Three,
they know the
game. 2-1-0 minus 7 minus 8. Then he got binned for 10. And then they're like, here's our last chance. It was diabolical from the referees.
Both coaches, Nathan Brown and Tuira Nikau, vented their frustrations at the refereeing of the two sides' round 16 matchup. The Warriors conceded a try despite replays showing Newcastle's Mason fake tiles lino knocking on earlier in the set of six.
Yep.
Then late in the second half, Ken Mamalo had a try disallowed despite replays showing him clearly grounding the ball.
I thought so too.
That call led to Fox lead commentator Brett Finch to say, "Blow up the bunker." Classic Finch. Thirdly and finally, Peter Hicku took an almighty head knock and the officials failed to stop play. The Knights scored later in the set. It could have been a game winner for the Knights, but the Warriors came up with the goods a short time later. Nikau was filthy but flabbergasted after the game. I think, like everyone else, I've sort of given up trying to give my view on it, he said, because at the end of the day, they're pushing the button. In the past couple of weeks, there's been a few howlers. But what's my saying what I think going to change? There are a couple of tries tonight that just shouldn't have been given.
Yeah, the ref stated that a trainer has to alert the ref that play needs to be stopped, which is absolutely ridiculous. Hicku
is it?
Was quite clearly knocked out.
I'm gonna do.
You're gonna throw a grenade?
Yeah.
He was quite clearly knocked out.
I might be the only one in the world to say this.
Mm-hmm.
If we stop now on the referee's call, the first bloke that stays down, does a bit of acting, and they stop the game, and then the defence line gets up, and he stands up and walks off with a head injury, but we all know it's just bullshit.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee you people will be screaming for the refs to go.
But people are screaming that we've got to look after these people with their head knocks. Gordon Tallis already donated his brain 2 years ago to science because the NRL is shitting themselves.
So
all scans of his brain have come back negative. But this is a problem. Like, he was quite clearly knocked out, but like you say, he could have been faking. What do you do?
I don't know.
I don't know the answer either.
Now, according to Fulker and the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab, Death Wish Darren and his terminal brother, Make-A-Wish Warren, it was a bit...
That's one of your best. He just wants to see Saturday. He just wants to see Benji make his 300th game. Not sure it's going to happen, Warren. He's looking pretty ill.
What about Disneyland? Can I get Disneyland? I wouldn't think so.
He's not going to see Wonderland reopened.
We might have to talk about this in a minute. It was a big game for the man that don't call far, Ken Mamalo. On top of a disallowed try, he scored two tries to go along with 209 running metres, two line breaks and two tackle busts.
Yeah, he was good, far Ken Mamalo. It was a good win for the Warriors. I don't know how much of that we're going to take out. So I apologise that I'm still laughing. The Warriors, they snatched it at the end with a clever kick. A bit lucky rebounding off Watson. But it keeps the Warriors alive. I'm trying to be the professional one here. I'm worried about Wazza down the backyard stats lab.
A ride in a helicopter? Nah.
Can you get me some of that bath water? Anything.
A pat a puppy? All right. Got me. Sunday, and the Sharks were beaten on the bell by the Broncos at Siv Ruff's Punt Park, 24 points to 22.
Yeah, 24-22.
A Brisbane Broncos team littered with debutants and a young up-and-comers have claimed an unlikely victory, Sid, coming back to defeat the Cronulla Sharks 24-22 at Sid's Rough Punt Parks. The Broncos hit the lead with 4 minutes remaining and hung on for an upset win. The Sharks ran out to a 22 points to 12 lead after 56 minutes, but we will again look at poor goal kicking as one of the reasons for the loss with Kyle Flanagan. Kyle Flanagan kicking one of the Sharks' 5 attempts. It's the third game in a row the Sharks have scored more tries than their opponents, but still lost.
Yeah, it's an amazing statistic that 3 games in a row they've scored more tries than the opposition and still lost. Whew. According to Full
Credit. Said that.
I know, but I'm trying to get this together. According to Full Credit to the boys' very own Andrew RLP from the Rugby League Project, that doesn't happen very often. Only 14 times in rugby league history has a team scored more tries than the opposition 3 weeks in a row and lost, the last team being St. George in 1982.
But they're all against kicks, so it doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
With just 4 minutes to go on the clock and the game in the balance, Cronulla coach, the dreamy John Morris.
He's dreamy.
Pulled big name off-season signing Paul Johnson from the field.
Paul Johnson.
Sean's brother, Sean Johnson from the field. I'm gone.
Sean Johnson.
Apparently because of his inability to close out games for the Sharks in the past fortnight. Speaking after the game, Morris said he could not keep repeating the same mistakes with his goal kickers and opted to leave Kyle Flanagan on the field. How'd that work out? In Johnson's place.
Paul Johnson.
After asked directly if Johnson was hooked, Morris said, "Not really," and defended his 5-8.
Well, he was. He was.
Not really.
No, he was.
Despite Johnson finishing with 2 runs for 12 metres, an error, and 3 missed tackles. While fellow half, the man they don't call Simon, Chad Townsend, had just 1 run for minus 6 metres, Sid.
You'd want him in your supercoach team.
An error and 4 missed conversions. Both halves are reportedly just finished intensive training at the Mitchell Moses School of Halfbacks and are said to be wrapped with their immediate results.
Yeah, it was a stinker of a game from Chad Simon Townsend, who was so pissed off he went home and kicked his dog Woodrow. But they're damning stats for the Sharkies halves, who are now only 1 win ahead of the Warriors, Saints, Cowboys and Brisbane. And they've got a tough game this week against Melbourne in Melbourne in Cam Smith's 400th game.
A heated moment in the 59th minute of this match sparked a ferocious reaction. Broncos prop and Tourism Australia ambassador Matt Lodge seemed to lash out whilst on his own line, seemingly tripping Sharks half Flanagan. On Channel 9, immortal Andrew Johns immediately wanted the harshest penalty. In years gone by, a trip would be an automatic send-off, John said. On replay, though, it appears as if Lodge just stood up holding Flanagan's leg and threw him to the ground by taking out his other leg. John summed the foot sweep up by saying he UFC'd him. However, earlier vision shows Flanagan had kneed Lodge in the head after he picked up a grubbered ball and was on the ground. The foot sweep from Lodge was outrageous. It was ugly. And however, the referees agreed. It was also warranted, awarding the penalty to the Broncos.
Yeah, it was strange scenes. Everyone was blowing up that former Tiger and part-time kidnapper Matt Lodge swept Flanagan's legs. But Flanagan deliberately kneed him in the head, something we've all wanted to do to Lodge, but he won't even get suspended, Flanagan, because apparently he didn't knee him hard enough.
I said this yesterday. How do they define that as hard enough? What's hard enough?
I don't understand.
That bizarre to me. That is honestly bizarre. Saturday's game at Ronald Coutut Park, Storm v Sharks, sees Cameron Smith play his 400th NRL game, Sid.
Unbelievable.
Brisbane coach Anthony Seibold has dismissed any suggestion of dropping under-fired Darius Boyd as an inexperienced Broncos outfit prepared to face Cronulla on Sunday.
That was a fitting tribute.
The Broncos, and there you go, it's topped it off. The Broncos hadn't won an NRL match since May and took on the Sharks with Keenan Palaci, or Palaci, I should say, Herbie Farnworth and Xavier Coates all making their NRL debuts in the Shire matchup.
What happened to Bob Smith? Footy players like that. Herbie Farnsworth and Xavier Coates. That's
obviously
amazing.
The man they don't call goes bananas, Herbie Farnsworth.
There's been a lot of talk that the board at the Broncos has told Coach Seabom that Darius cannot be dropped. Have you read this?
Yeah.
If that's true, that is an absolute joke. They're a rabble, the Broncos.
Newcastle appears to have snatched hooker Jaden Brayley from the Cronulla Sharks for 2020. The Newcastle Herald claims that the Knights have captured the 23-year-old number 9 on a 3-year deal. The Knights have been on the hunt for a top-class rake to add to their order already strong spine, which includes Mitchell Pearce and Kalen Ponga.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you mentioned that Brayley is moving to Newcastle, as we are about to cross now to our good friend Matt Nable to announce the Origin squads for tomorrow night's blockbuster, Origin 3.
It's one game all. We head to Sydney for the decider. It's Mitchell Pearce's chance at redemption. His first chance to beat Queensland.
Let's get it on!
Hi, I'm Matt Nable. You may remember me from such films as Jasper Jones, Around the Block, or Bluey. Or you may remember that time I thought Jaden Brayley played for the Knights for a whole match. Anyway, thanks Was a Legend and Sid Betts for having me on the show to announce the state of their Origin teams. First up, we have the New South Wales team. And in the number one jersey, it's James Freddie Tedesco. On the wing is Dennis Ferguson. The centre three-quarter, Karl Stefanovic. And he'll be backed up by Jack Black. On the other wing, Josh Hadakar. In the halves, we have James Mahoney and Guy Pearce makes his return. In the number eight, we have Dean Scifoletti, the hooker, the former beach sprinter. Not sure if you know about that, boys. Meth Cook. In the number 10, we have Paul Vorton, alongside Bord Coddington, and in the number 12, Tyson Fury. At lock, we have Peter Stefanovic. On the bench, we have Dale Fincole, Cosmo Kramer, Cameron Munster, and Graham Wade, and a pointless 18th man is Clint Guttering. For Queensland, in the number one jersey, we have Eddie Munster. The wing, Toby Zotes. Michael Organ is the centre three-quarter. Deirdre Chambers is the centre four-fifths. On the other wing is Dane Gayman. Harvey Norman is the 5/8. Daly Cherry-Cola is the 7/13. In the number eight jersey, we have Willie Offa-Hangawi. Number nine, Ben Hunt, not rhyming slang. In the front row, Josh Papagiuseppe. Felice Confuse Me, number 12, Matt Razor, is replaced by Dylan Nappy, or Big Pampers, as he likes to be called. And Eddie Maguire is locking the scrum. On the bench, we have Noah Mbaik. Number 15 is Muslim Welch. 16, Al Grasby. Number 17, Andrew Fifita. And the pointless extra man they've named is Rob Lowe, ironically, in the 18 jersey. So they're the teams. Was a Legend and Sid Betts sets up a great game three at Renovator's Delight. Thanks for having me on the show. Remember, look out for me in the movie Quarry, It's gonna be a smash hit! It's gonna be a box office smash! It went straight to DVD. Make sure you check it out. I'm Matt Nable. Thanks again, boys, and listen out for me doing voiceover work at Fox.
Thanks very much to Fox Sports voiceover boy, Matt Nable. And the biggest stories this week, Sid, were all Origin related.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start from the top. It's the biggest story to come out of Origin in a long, long time. Mitchell Pearce, the much maligned Blues halfback, is back in a series decider that may exorcise the demons of seven previous failed series. Now, despite some NRL pundits claiming Freudian slip there. Pearce was scared to return to Origin. He jumped at the opportunity when Nathan Cleary was declared unavailable, as exclusively alluded to by well-known NRL expert at former underscore legend.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he jumped at the chance, but we can argue that forever and a day. He was initially overlooked. I don't know why he wasn't named 18th man. Clint Guttering, apparently, was the 18th man. Pointless. But Pearce will now run out tomorrow night to lead the Blues to victory in his probably 400th attempt. It was also interesting to see that Clemmer was also overlooked, but he is now in the squad. Both should have been named from the outset, if you ask me.
Two questions.
Hit me.
And this is jumping the gun a long way down the track.
And they're both without notice, but let's see how I go.
New South Wales win.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell Pearce get picked next year in Origin? Is he a walk-up start?
I think this is the last game he will play no matter what.
Well, that wrecks my next question.
Okay, what's your next question?
If they lose, will he play again?
Should have probably led with that, but it would have been the same answer. He's on a hiding to nothing, and I don't know why he would even put his name
out there. Because he wants to win, and he's a winner. Matt Gillette is out of the Origin decider following a bizarre turn of events, which saw Maroons coach Kevin Walters say the forward would be ready for Game 3, only to change his mind 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Walters held a press conference on Tuesday today, saying Gillette, the Remington Razor, who had been struggling with a groin complaint, would be given until Wednesday morning to prove his fitness. It was there he announced that the Maroons' most capped forward would not play. We just tried to run him there in the warm-up, and he's not coming up too well. Gillo will make the right decision as best for the team. We will give him right up to the game time to make his decision whether he can play or not, the Queensland coach said, before concluding the press conference and saying that, well, he's not available. Dylan, the big Papa Nuppa, will be...
Pampers
was called into the Maroon squad.
Yeah, well, they run off a different time zone up there in Queensland, so it was a bit confusing when they said he's got up until kickoff. They don't have daylight savings.
Do you think Walters also had to go and run it by the coach whisperer to decide whether he could announce that Gillette wasn't playing?
Has he officially announced that the big Pappy?
Yes.
Okay.
Wayne Bennett could make a spectacular return as Queensland coach as early as next year, Sid. The Australian has reported that the Queensland Rugby League has pinpointed the veteran supercoach as a replacement if Kevin Walters lands an NRL job for 2020. Walters is gunning for the Gold Coast coaching job if Garth Brennan is punted from the role. The South Sydney veteran coach told the Sydney Morning Herald he would be open to answering a call from the Queensland Rugby League.
Look, I don't know if I've got this wrong, but it always seems to be that it has to be all about Wanye. Why is Wanye announcing this now? Are the Bunnies on some kind of losing streak or something that Wanye wants us to talk about something else? Don't look over here. Let's talk about over there.
Genius.
They could win the series tomorrow night. It's another 12 months away before we've got to worry about this. Wanye, I don't understand.
If Josh Papali inspires a Queensland victory in the State of Origin series, New South Wales will only have Ricky Stewart to blame. Ex-New South Wales coach Ricky Stewart unleashed after Papali's Raiders suffered a shock 22-16 NRL loss to Parramatta barely a week later in Darwin. Papali said copping criticism from Walters hurt after Origin 2. However, the Raiders enforcer admitted the legendary spray from the former Blues mentor Stewart just days ago had spurred him into action ahead of Origin 3.
You reckon Ricky's got a spray in him?
Oh, yeah, he's got a spray in him, all right. With former Blues playmaker and mentor Stewart's scathing words still ringing in his ear, Papali said he now wanted to make amends in Origin 3 after Queensland's pack were dominated in Perth.
Whose side is Sticky on? This is disgraceful. They'll be fired up, the Maroons. The Blues better watch out. I'm actually a little worried that the Cane Toads might pull our pants down tomorrow night.
What about the score? Anything to do with that?
I haven't really put much thought into it.
More thinking about pulling pants. Phil Gould has texted James Maloney with a stark reminder of why the Blues can ill afford to be complacent in the series deciding State of Origin 3. The most successful New South Wales coach in Origin history, Gould understands better than most the way the Origin tidal wave can rise from defeat. Of the 19 State of Origin series deciders dating back to 1980, New South Wales have won only four. Gus pointed out to me the New South Wales record in series deciders, and it shows why no one can afford to be complacent, Maloney said. It's something that really hit home. Getting the opportunity to try and improve the New South Wales record is something that means a lot to me.
Is he allowed to text Penrith players, Gus Gould?
I don't know why you'd be giving him negative stories. Wouldn't you be giving him positive stuff?
I don't understand.
Oh, we'll talk about Origin predictions with our guest tonight, huh?
Yeah, why not? Well, there was a major injury on the weekend. St. George winger Jordan Pereira.
Ooh, that was ugly.
He has now been released from hospital after an awkward fall when scoring a try for the Dragons in reserve grade against Newtown on the weekend. Pereira landed on his head and there were real concerns that he may have broken his neck. Gladly now we can reveal scans have suggested there is no break and he has been released from hospital after a few nervous days for the 26-year-old.
Thank God.
Yes.
Johnson, the stopper! For the heavyweight championship of the world!
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL. And the Swans were beaten by 10 points by Essendon at the MCG, putting them right down to 14th place on the ladder, while the GWS Caps Lock Giants were also given a beating, going down to the Brisbane Lions by 20 points at the Royal Easter Show Wood Chopping Oval, taking them out of the top four.
It was a poor week for the Sydney teams in the AFL. The Swans are dead set rubbish this year, and the Caps Lock Giants, my team, were beaten in a top-of-the-table clash with the Brisbane Lions in a riveting game it was in front of probably 200 paying fans out there at Royal Easter Show Wood Chopping Oval.
Rugby Union in the hashtag talk other games down. A passenger on an EasyJet jet has slammed the budget airline after claiming she was harassed and abused by a group of rugby players during a flight. Rachel Dickshute, 33,
no.
I'm telling you now, was travelling from Bordeaux to Lisbon on June 28. When the team from France boarded the flight. There are a team of rugby players that were allowed to board after consuming copious amounts of alcohol prior to the flight, she told The Sun. I made a complaint at the gate
She'd be fun. You'd think with a name like Rachel Dickshute, she would be fun. I'm picking she's not that much fun.
You're getting on EasyJet. You get what you're given on EasyJet. Jesus Christ. Oh, I thought it'd be much more civil than this. Get me back on Ryanair.
What's your name, ma'am? Ms. Dickshute.
No, seriously.
Get out of here.
I made a complaint at the gate. I, among other passengers, had already been harassed by this group prior to boarding. The crew made multiple attempts to get them to settle down prior to boarding while waiting at the gate, as well as trying to calm this group down during the flight and even refused to serve them alcohol. Ms. Dickshute, who is from the United States, said they continued to be rude and she was abused by the team. At one point, one of the members threw a shoe that landed near her head while others filmed her.
This is disgraceful behaviour.
Could be worse. Could have been a schlossy shoe.
This is disgraceful behaviour, and I don't condone this, but thankfully rugby won't be around for much longer, so we won't have to put up with this.
Rugby, hashtag talk other games down. Former Wallaby star Clyde Rathbone offered on Twitter to make sweet love to Israel Folau for $3 million.
This is fantastic.
Rathbone has been an outspoken critic of Folau, and he wrote on Twitter, "For $3 million, I will make sweet love to Israel Folau. We can even do it in a church to make sure it's not gay sex. Call me at Izzy Folau. Hashtag Israel Folau. Hashtag GoFundMe. Hashtag Blessed. Hashtag I am serious."
This is fantastic. I'd rather have a Rathbone than a Dickshute, if I'm honest. Do you reckon, in all of this,
Rathbone should get together with Dickshute?
Don't you reckon? They could come together. Do you reckon, out of all of this, do you reckon Folau is a top or a bottom?
Drop your mic, walk out. You won't get better than that tonight.
You didn't answer my question.
What was the question?
Do you reckon Folau is a top or a bottom?
Tennis. She may be the greatest women's tennis player of all time, but Serena Williams can still be an absolute arsehole. The woman who
I think that's a bit harsh.
The woman who caught a cab.
She's got a massive kick up.
The woman who caught a cab midway through a marathon before crossing the finish line also gave a backhanded compliment to Australia's little champion, Ash Barty.
Is that true that she did that? I'd forgotten about that.
Yes, absolutely.
She caught a cab in a marathon.
Correct.
Wow.
In her pre-tournament press conference, Williams said she was unaware Australia's Ash Barty was the number one ranked player in the world. Wow, that's great, the 23-time Grand Slam champion said. I think Ash, I don't know anyone that has anything negative to say about her. She's like the sweetest, cutest girl on tour. She's so nice.
She is.
She has the most beautiful game, such classic shots. I mean, she does everything right. Her technique is like flawless. Obviously, I'm happy for her. Yeah, it's good. It's good for her. Barty and Williams have been grouped in the same quarter of the draw, but they won't be meeting because Ash Barty got beaten last night, much like the Matildas, but getting bumped early out of a tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really have a problem with this. Everyone's up in arms saying that it's a lack of respect. How many Grand Slams? 23 Grand Slams she's won, Williams.
But our Ash has won one.
Well, exactly, and she's number one, but she's only been number one for a number of days, and she lost. Loser. Yeah. I don't see how this is a bad thing. She didn't slander Ash Barty at all.
It was listen.
Leave Williams alone. I'm not a fan of hers at all. But
the tone of her press conference was dripping with sarcasm.
Okay. Well, that didn't come across in your impersonation. But anyway.
I told you, I'm giving up impersonations.
Leave the impersonations up to me, eh?
After earlier doing that teenage girl one. Tennis, Rafael Nadal and Nick Kyrgios don't get along. That's why their second round match at Wimbledon was always going to be a must-watch game. It was the grudge match of the year. The whole tennis world had been licking its lips for the showdown, anticipating another blockbuster, and it delivered in spades. The tennis was worthy of a final as the two players traded blows literally throughout the game. Now, the Aussie star was spotted by multiple tennis commentators at a pub next to the All England Club past 11 p.m. the night before his highly anticipated second round match. Nadal, eventually won 6-3, 3-6, 7-6, 7-6 in a tick over 3 hours of tennis of the highest quality. Now, according to Full Credit, the boys' backyard tennis stats lab, Forehand Freddy and his fleshy brother, Foreskin Frank. The statistical sheet shows that the eyes did not deceive. Kyrgios hit 58 winners compared to only 27 unforced errors, served a remarkable 29 aces and was almost unbreakable after his first service game, yet he was still beaten. There was a service game where Kyrgios started with an ace, clubbed over 220 kilometres an hour, and then finished it with another served underarm that went about 60 kilometres an hour that drew a smile from the Spaniard. The Australian almost snapped Nadal in two with a forehand that thundered straight at him and then turned his back. Nadal was aggrieved that there was no apology, although Kyrgios later said that he saw no need to apologise because he did not strike the Spaniard and hit his tennis racket.
You know what? I've turned a corner on this guy, Kyrgios. He kind of impresses me. This is a massive match for him, and he's out the pub till all hours. This is my kind of guy.
Do you know what? I'll say this. There are times when I'm the same with Kyrgios.
I've never been like this with Kyrgios, but I was impressed
with
this.
Did you see him in the press conference when that girl, lady journo, started to ask a question? He turned to her and he went, "You were there last night. Did you see that?"
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Right? There's lots of other stuff where they said to him, "Don't you think you should have said sorry to Rafa when you nearly hit him in the chest?" He goes, No, why would I?
And he actually said the other day, "You know what? I probably haven't been trying hard enough. I could probably do a bit better, but I still played good tennis." I like him.
He did really play good tennis. And if he played like this all the time, even though he lost, he was brilliant the other night and probably beats all but the top three players in the world. Now, the problem is there are times where he doesn't play like this.
No,
he
that's
doesn't
true.
Give a shit.
I'd agree
he
with
carries
that.
Carries on like a pork chop, and we just go, "Oh, for fuck's sake."
Speaking of carrying on like a pork chop, everyone was up in arms that Ash Barty's match was not played ahead of Kyrgios.
No, it wasn't. It was played at the same time, and they said Channel 7 should have showed it.
They should have shown it. They should have telecast it. But like you said, this was a match that everyone wanted to see, whether they're Kyrgios fans or not.
This wasn't the match that was over the top of Barty's, but
I think two of them were.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, this wasn't the one they were talking about.
So they finally put Barty on telly and she lost. It's a disgrace.
Tennis. Just to put some perspective on Kyrgios, now whether you love him or hate him, tennis bad boy Fabio Fognini, or Forgini, Fognini, Fognini.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are correct, but continue.
Tennis bad boy.
I think he got Fabio right.
Tennis bad boy Fabio Fognini has risked being punished by a Wimbledon organiser after he said in his native language during his round three match on court 14, "It's fair to play here? Damn the English, really. Damn them. I wish a bomb would explode on this club. A bomb should explode here." Fognini is in a two-year Grand Slam probationary period after getting kicked out of the 2017 US Open for insulting female tennis chair umpire Louise Angzell by calling her a whore. Fognini's fury at playing on court 14 wasn't the only sour part of his day. He required a medical timeout during the third set to tend to his bloody knuckles after punching his racket too hard.
This guy's great.
He is a fruit. Yeah. Speaking of fruitcakes, hot dog eating. Joey Jaws Chestnut ate 71 wieners and buns to secure his 12th title at Nathan's Famous annual July 4th hot dog eating contest at Coney Island in New York on Thursday. In front of a crowd of fans and facing 17 opponents, the California native came close but didn't manage to beat his own record of 74 hot dogs set last year.
Joey Chestnut, with a name like that, he was set for greatness, wasn't he?
Well, he far exceeded his nearest competitors. Afterwards, Chestnut said he was disappointed not to break his own record but planned to try again next year. Reigning women's champion Miki Sudo won her competition by chomping down on 31 hot dogs.
Nice.
She said she felt wonderful as she walked off the stage. The 33-year-old fell short of last year's 37 Frankfurters record, but easily beat runner-up Michelle Lesko, who ate 26 hot dogs. She'll be disappointed with that, Lesko. Sudo's performance on Thursday morning earned her a sixth consecutive title.
What's her name? The hot dog eating chick?
Michelle.
Mickey?
Oh, sorry. Mickey. Miki Sudo.
Call me Mickey. Wonder what she could do with a little party, Frank.
Mickey's wouldn't touch the sides, I'd
give
say.
Give us a buzz.
Cricket. After their shock loss to South Africa on Saturday, Australia slipped to second on the World Cup ladder, meaning they will face England at Edgbaston for the second semi-final.
This is risky, isn't it?
Well, although Australia comfortably defeated England in their group stage last month, one worrying statistic will concern the men in yellow ahead of their must-win fixture on Thursday. Australia has not won a cricket match at Edgbaston in any format since 2001. The last match Australia won at Edgbaston was a test victory against England in the 2001 Ashes over 18 years ago.
We've been doing so well.
I'm scared.
We got to beat England.
I'm scared.
They've been so cocky. We got to knock them out.
I've got a shocking feeling about this.
Me too.
All right, Sid, I thought we'd do something different right now. And we've never done this before, but I had a woodwork teacher back in school.
It was Did
about
you?
1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I think he's in jail at the moment, but God, anyway, hello to Mr. Rains if he's listening.
There's a few of my teachers in jail now.
Yeah, I'm sure. So Mr. Rains used to give us our report cards. Now, Mr. Rains was a massive soak, loved a drink, and clearly used to do a lot of drinking when he was doing our report cards, mainly because our report cards smelt like bourbon. But so Mr. Rains would give us our report card, and essentially it was three words.
Yeah.
Everyone got a three-word comment. Must try harder, easily distracted, idiot, fucking yada, yada, yada. So I thought, let's do a three-word report card for a midway season report card for all the NRL teams.
What a great idea.
We're only allowed to use three words. And further to that, I thought we'd get a little bit of assistance. So we got a longtime friend of the show from Steel Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Steel_Sports. It's Albie Tallarico. How are you going, mate?
I'm doing really well. How you doing, boys?
Thank you for joining us. Now, if you don't know, Albie's the voice of Newtown Rugby League. He's a commentator. He's the general manager of Steel Sports. He's an MC. He's an auctioneer. What is it you don't do, mate? You're driving cabs. Is there anything you're not having a crack at?
Well, I did have a cab license a long time ago. Yes. I used to drive for Legion 20918 car 1217.
So you're a cabbie or an auctioneer. What is the difference between you and Ray Hadley, would you say, basically?
Oh, I'm not a bully.
Good answer.
So Albie's going to help us too. So I'm going to give the team name. We'll do it in alphabetical order. We'll do it in position.
Yeah, let's do it.
And you just give me your three-word comment. Don't even give them a grade. Sid, you go first with every team. I'll go second. Albie, you put the cream on the cake if you don't mind, mate. We'll start with the Brisbane Broncos, Sid. What's your three-word report card for them?
Seabold isn't Bennett. That's my three-word report card.
Yeah? What about mine? Players hate coach.
Yes.
Albie, what do you got?
Prince of Promises.
Yes. Not bad, not bad. Second up, the Canberra Raiders, Sydney.
I think you can sum them up in three words. Ricky's new contract. They're sitting in fourth. I think it's time they upgraded his contract.
Well, I'll say Ricky's best chance.
Yes.
I've gone more serious. Hardened belief, backbone.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, we'll see. Well, here we go. Canterbury Bulldogs, Sydney.
Lost the dressing room. Dressing room is one word.
Canterbury Bulldogs couldn't win reserves.
Yeah.
Albie, what do you got?
Not enough mongrel.
Yes. Oh, yeah, nice dog tie-in. Well done. see if you can get a Sharks tie-in with this one. Lost their bite, maybe. Cronulla Sharks, Sydney.
Oh, you stole mine, so I'm going to go with in the hunt. I still think they're in the hunt.
Mine's more about their halves, or their 1-6 and their 7. Love themselves sick.
Mm.
Apparently that's the word on the street.
Yeah, that is the word on the street.
Albie,
that's
what
almost
got?
4 words, so I'm going to use 4 words. All tip, no iceberg.
And a shout-out to Harold Holt, who's still out there underneath one. Sydney, the Gold Coast Titans.
Time to go.
Yeah?
It's time to move the Gold Coast Titans.
I've got this. Position's vacant. Coach. Albie.
Same old same.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Manly Seagulls, Sydney.
Well, I think I coined this phrase, but it's been working for them this year. Centre of colour bond. You can have your centre of excellences. They've got, they're doing it
it's
on
actually,
a shoestring.
It's actually
shoestring.
A 42-gauge custom all roof too, by the way.
Desi's got them going a lot better than I thought they would go.
What about this one, defying all experts?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, pretty much the same, exceeding all expectations.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable, aren't they? Desi's got them cracking. I don't
it's
know how
the centre of colour bond, I'm telling you.
It's those water bottle weights they're using there.
Yeah.
We should all rock up there in our undies and just have a look at the roof, I suppose, like in that ad.
The Melbourne Storm, Sydney.
In the hunt.
Yeah, mine's windows filthy regardless. Shout out to the lady who cleans Craig Bellamy's windows for him.
Oh, I won't tell you what my wife said about the coach, but anyway... You know, if Grey's Anatomy and Quincy had a love child, Craig Bellamy be it, because he's surgical, clinical, and methodical.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, geez, you can't knock him, can you? He's unbelievable. All right, the Newcastle Knights.
Ponga and Pierce.
Yeah.
I've just got saved Brown's ass.
Oh, didn't they? I thought he was gone. Albie? They gave him 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Promising big things.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Albie? Are they the real deal?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I reckon too.
I rate Nathan Brown very highly. He's a terrific bloke. I mean, I've been fortunate to get out what he calls on the sip.
Yep.
And it was one of the great afternoons of my life. You know, I picked 6 from 9 from Happy Valley, so I was really happy. And so were they, because I kept picking winners and everyone kept making money, so it went well.
Off air, Albie, I'll tell you about the night I got absolutely smashed with Mary McGregor and Rod Wisher. One of the great nights.
Did Mary drive home?
Drove us all home. North Queensland Cowboys, Sydney.
Three words for you. I don't know.
Yeah?
I seriously don't know what's going on at the Cowboys.
Mine is Taumalolo, shining light.
Oh, you love him.
Oh, you do, don't you?
Oh, mate. I'd have his babies.
Like every family, there's a big brother, a little brother, and a middle brother, and the Cowboys are just suffering from the middle child syndrome.
aren't they the leading Queensland team at the moment?
They are on for and against.
Fantastic.
In a low field.
Great stuff. Rugby league's dead in Queensland and other news.
Yep.
Parramatta Eels, Sid.
Flat track bullies.
Yeah, I've got bipolar performances.
Yeah. I'm the great pretenders.
Yeah, I think so, mate. Penrith Panthers?
I've only got the Jackson 5. Let me explain that to you.
Yeah.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it, guys? Here they come, the Panthers.
mine for the Penrith Panthers is can't feel it.
You can't feel it.
Stop. Somebody needs to just throw in the towel.
Yeah, no, no good. Oh,
mine's quite simple. Bus is broken.
Yeah, nice.
The Rabbitohs?
Bennett's the best.
Mine's shut your eyes, otherwise they'll gouge them.
Gran Torino delivers.
Yeah,
nice. I like that. Illawarra, Sir George Illawarra Dragons, I should say.
I think it sums up Mary's new contract. Since he re-signed, they've gone backwards.
Mine is simply can't defend kicks.
No, it kills. This has been my side since 1977, and they kill me. Disappointing, deficient, however delightful.
So Illawarra has been your team since 77.
Back in the day, what were they called back there in 1977? There was the Cayman Knights. There was the great sites down there in the old Carlton Cup.
Wirral Gorillas.
Yeah.
Who else is there? Who else is down there? The coal miners? What are they called?
Anyway. There's Thurill Butchers.
Thurill Butchers, one of the great teams. Who are we up to? The Roosters. Ooh, geez.
Back to back.
Ooh, I've got grand final again.
Yep.
Attempting the improbable.
Yeah.
This one will be interesting. New Zealand Warriors.
Same old Warriors.
I've got... usual inconsistent shit. Mate, they are a punter's nightmare, that team.
Aren't they?
I've got you, babe. No, Groundhog Day. You just keep seeing the same. It's the same shit, different day with them.
Exactly.
I mean, there's many words to describe this next team, but the West Tigers, Sydney.
Still in ninth.
I've got ninth looks likely.
Yep.
I see. I'm an optimist here. I think they're ready to roar.
Oh, geez, I hope so. All right, while we've got you, Albie, and this isn't written in the notes, obviously, I thought we'd do a quick predictions for State of Origin number 3, which is on in about 24 hours or just less than. Let's start with the score, Albie. What do you reckon the score will be tomorrow night?
24-14 to the Blues.
Sydney?
Yeah, I've got similar. New South Wales, 26-16.
Yeah, I've got very similar again. 22-12. Probably box all those and you get a result.
Yep.
First try scorer, Albie?
Addo Carr.
I've got Addo Carr as well.
Well, I was going to have Addo Carr, but I'll toss in a real roughie.
Go.
And say Wade Graham.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, yeah, good call. That's a good call.
Men of the match, Albie?
Oh, boy. Captain's knock.
Ooh, Cordner.
Cordner.
Oh, biscuit legs. I'll say man of the match will be James Maloney. Full credit to the boys' very own.
Full credit to the boys' very own James Maloney.
Sydney, who do you think will be man of the match? And then I want you to explain this.
Well, I think Pierce will be man of the match.
What? Sorry?
Yeah, Pierce. Mitchell Pierce is going to go out there tomorrow night and absolutely brain him like he has before.
7 days ago, you said he didn't even want to play Origin. Now he's going to be man of the match.
Well, he's been forced to play.
You are fickle, mate. You are a very fickle man. You are lower than catch it.
I want to look at the odds. I'm going to put big money on Pierce to be man of the match tomorrow.
You are... Oh,
man of the series.
You are one of the lowest human beings I've met.
Yeah, you knew that when you met me.
Albie, I'm very sorry you had to be a part of this. Now, mate... A couple of things coming up in the Blue Baggers world. Tell us this weekend who they're playing.
North Sydney Bears. It's the Frank Hyde Shield Part 2, and that's at North Sydney Oval. It's a early kickoff of 1 o'clock, and it'll be a lovely afternoon over there at North Sydney Oval. And, of course, you know, for those of us that are going out there, of course, there's drinks back at the Greens at North Sydney, so it'll be rather salubrious as well. but I'm really looking forward to it. It's always a good game, and I reckon, you know, they'll probably get a good crowd of around 1,500 to 2,000 out there. Newtown had a great win last week. It was one of the, you know, they were at 24-6 at halftime, And St. George Illawarra Dragons almost mowed them down, and they held on for a 24-20 victory. It was one of the really good game. They just defended their lead, but they almost gave it away. But it was a great crowd. I mean, I was there at about 2 o'clock, and I reckon there was probably five dog walkers around the whole field. And then all of a sudden at 5-3, it was like someone had hit the horn at the Henson Park Hotel. The whole joint went emptied out, and we ended up with about 1,500 people, so it was fantastic.
And don't forget, North Sydney Oval's still one of the only ovals in Australia where you can see wingers smash their face into the back fence.
That's true.
And Albie, the beer festival, that is probably the premier week.
It's where I catch up with you every year, Albie.
Every year, 27th of July. Of course, the main game will be the Newtown Bluebags up against Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. And we celebrate, I suppose, a game back in 1982 where it was where Warren Ryan said after this game where it was a nil or draw that the better side drew. And so we'll be celebrating that game out there at Henson Park. And we look forward because we think we're going to get in excess of 7,000 people there, which should be. And the Sid was there. You should have seen him last year.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, didn't he think he was a celebrity?
Wasn't I?
It was just unfortunate no one really knew who he was. But,
no, I still signed autographs, though, even though people didn't want them.
But what a great afternoon.
It is a great day.
They said, who is that bloke over there? I think he's one of the blokes in the Ewok costume from Star Wars.
It's a fantastic day, and I will be out there. Not that that's a selling point, but it is a fantastic day. And
Albie,
it goes from strength to strength.
Albie, unbelievably, you can tell me the crowd figure right now.
Oh, 8,972.
Mate, thank you very much for joining us on Full Credit the Boys. We'll definitely have you back on again before the end of the year. If not, we'll for sure to see you at the live show. You'd be mad to miss that.
Oh, absolutely.
Big guest possibly to be announced very soon for that live show.
Yes.
It will probably bring in 8,000, 372 people through the doors. But, mate, thank you very much for joining us. We will talk to you again. And don't forget, find Albie at Steel_sports on Twitter. He is a great bloke and, a wealth of knowledge in rugby league. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for having me.
FCTTTB sounds like too many T's to me. FCTTTTB, yeah, that's definitely too many T's.
Full credit to the boys, 2019 memberships available now. Only $35, free postage. You get a Coldy holder, lanyard, members card, key ring, sticker and magnet. It's the only way to get an invite to the live show. Go to www.fullcredittotheboys.bigcartel.com. Do it now.
Okie dokie, Sid, it's time for podcasting's number one segment in all the world. It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yes, it's time for Grab a Mirror. Don't forget, you can reply to my original tweets on Tuesdays around 7:30 every Tuesday morning with the hashtag Grab a Mirror. Also, there will be a follow-up tweet around 3:30 with the same hashtag, hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM.
Now, Tuesdays Sid, only.
I believe someone's commented on our hashtag GAM hashtag.
Yeah, GLD mentioned that the hashtag GAM has been commandeered.
Right.
It stands for Great Asian Males on Grindr.
Gay Asian males or great Asian males?
Could be either. I'm not sure. I'm not on Grindr.
How would
you tell me?
How would GLD know that?
I'm not sure.
Right. I'll go first tonight. I'll process that in my mind. Grab a mirror. Turn the mic off. Very professional. Hashtag,
very professional.
Hashtag grab a mirror. Hashtag GAM. Grab a mirror. 52-year-old English lady, Betty Fuchser.
What did Betty Fuchser do to you this week?
Betty Fuchser was attending the Swingsfield Festival in England on Friday. Now, Swingsfield Festival is England's largest three-day sex festival, Sid.
Nice.
The site is a closely guarded secret. Ticket holders who pay £170 for couples are only told 48 hours before the festival gets underway about where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, attendees can enjoy various activities, including an adventure tent, kinky entertainment, and medieval stocks, which is much like your fate days at your school.
Now, it is, much like that.
According to witnesses, Betty Fuchser was enjoying the Wild West theme on Friday night as she partook in all manner of activities, including topless mechanical bull riding, 52 topless mechanical bull riding, I wouldn't think so, naked limbo and nude jelly wrestling. Said,
nice.
Now, at about 9:30 p.m., Betty, who had enjoyed a number of drinks on the night, entered the bondage and discipline marquee, said, and Betty volunteered to be tied up, and numerous people were encouraged to smack her bare bottom.
Okay.
It was at this point that Betty reportedly had a heart attack.
Oh, no.
After pushing herself too hard during all the group activities. It would also seem that it was a massive error to make her safe word, oh, fuck, I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah, with hindsight.
Now, an air ambulance was rushed to, rushed Betty to hospital, where she underwent emergency treatment and stayed as an inpatient for at least 2 days. Festival source told The Sun the swinger had a heart attack when the medics were on site. It gave the 700 swingers present a bit of a shock. But it didn't take too long for the fun and games to resume. Betty's now had a stent fitted in one of her blocked arteries and is making a recovery, and she's expected to be back on the end of a pleather flogger within weeks. So grab a mirror, Betty Fuchser, you wild-sounding sex minx.
Good on her, I say.
Equal
10.
Righto.
How many we got this week?
Well, there's obviously we do a top 10.
Okay.
So there's 16. at Mr. Barjas. The runner of our Instagram account.
Yeah.
Doing a magnificent job. Hashtag grab a mirror. Have a look at his Craig Gower work from last week. Hashtag
helped
grab
me
a
out
mirror.
A lot for the live show too. Thanks, Bargy.
Hashtag grab a mirror. The 98% of New South Wales that still can't get behind Pierce for the easiest slam dunk win of his life tomorrow. This come from a Queenslander. Not only are your guys on a roll and playing in front of a massive home crowd, we're fielding a team of 16 gimps and a giraffe, for fuck's sake. Sort your shit out, New South Wales.
Well, I've jumped on the Pierce bandwagon.
He'll be cool.
10.
At Lynn G says, grab a mirror at GIMP187. Have you caught up with this?
No.
187's a Sharkies fan who, well, basically was made viral because he filmed himself burning a Sharks jersey after the loss the other day. Grab a mirror at GIMP187, says Lynn. Yeah, okay, we lost 3 games by 2 points after scoring more tries each time. But burning a jersey? That's hardcore. It was reposted so much that you missed your own viral spread because your Twitter had banned you. Hashtag take a breath. Hashtag it's only footy. Hashtag makes the good times even sweeter.
Hear, hear.
10.
Equal.
10.
Sorry, fat fingers.
It's 12:30. At Beerboy 182 says, grab a mirror, me, you unmagnificent bastard, for buying Mark Ronson tickets at Midnight Shift / Hellfire Nightclub and not realizing an Origin Decider was on. And to be leaning to dancing to Uptown Funk in my rainbow hot pants with a ball gag in my mouth on Oxford Street at the current time. And I've just messaged Beerboy and said, do you need a plus one? So, equal
10.
At Biscuit Duncan says, grab a mirror at Sid Punts.
Aye?
For claiming Mitchell Pearce didn't want to play Origin again. For fuck's sake, stop making Origin predictions. You already gave New South Wales a curse before game one just to make it harder for us. Hashtag Sid's roughs punts. Hashtag not Tradamus. Hashtag worse than the weather lady.
Well, get your hard earned on Pearce being man of the match in
equal
game 3.
10.
At NDF Electrical 01, the NDF Electrical Proprietary Limited.
Free plug.
Proud sponsor, full credit the boys. Hashtag, grab a mirror my missus for not playing the style of hide and seek they do in French rugby. Hashtag, hairy palms. Hashtag, barbecuing alone. Hashtag, gowie for PM.
That really resonated with people, that story.
Equal
10.
I'm glad you said that because at NRL _ the profits, grab a mirror, my selection of friends. Oh, sorry, my selection policy for friends. I've retold the French rugby owner story to several people for mixed reactions. Hashtag need a high performance manager. Hashtag one of the best.
It was.
Equal
10.
At Man C. Carl says, Grab a mirror, anyone in the world that hasn't listened to last week's episode. Some of your best work and thankful I have ears. Hashtag Gower is amazing. Hashtag dildos for everyone. Hashtag well done, Milram.
Absolutely.
Equal
nine.
Not equal nine.
Nine, just on its own.
At 82 introvert says, grab a mirror at steel_panther, you magnificent bastards. Your new song is brilliant. Video is fantastic. Can't wait for the new album. You make life worth living. Hashtag greatest band in the world.
It is a great new song.
And what's the song called, Sid?
I can't remember.
All I Want to Do Is Fuck, I think it's called. I kid you not.
Clever.
Eight.
At gorilla_kmac. Grab a mirror at former legend for a mention on David Reynolds' At Below the Bonnet podcast,
yeah,
when discussing what was better, what would be better, a holiday with Shane Van Gisbergen or eating a shit sandwich. Gold and great description.
Yeah, it's good that he gave you a mention after you mucked up the name of his podcast. Very yeah, thoughtful right. of him.
Seven.
Careful his missus doesn't yell at you.
Oh, I was going to. We'll call him next week about that.
Yeah, cool.
At Young Yell One.
It's a wonder she hasn't yelled at me.
Oh, he'll yell at you when I tell him what you said after last year's Bathurst.
Move on. Seven. We're up to seven.
Someone
keep
needs
going.
To go back to that
Don't
podcast.
Worry about that. Just keep going.
At Young Yell One. What did you say again? About
nothing. I apologize. I'm a bad person.
At Young Yell One says, grab a mirror, the NRL. Why don't you build a statue and name it Asterix Morris? Leave the first name off and get the two for the price of one. Hashtag kept English quiet. Hashtag real reason we won in 2016.
What a fantastic idea. And a budget-saving idea.
Six.
This made me laugh. At the real _ Ian Lacey. Grab a mirror, Paul Fatty Vorton, for coming out saying he would want to replace Queensland coach Kevvy Walters if they lose the series. I'd give Fatty one series before Aaron Mullen takes that job from him as well. Hashtag go on.
Very good.
Five.
Beer Boy 182.
Another entry from Beer Boy.
Hashtag grab a mirror, Rugby League Week Mole. Not only is he the worst guest to grace the pod waves, he absolutely folded into a blibbering mess of water when Josh Dugan replied to his snarky tweet.
Yeah, he did.
He'll still probably try a wave to him in the street like he does to Dave Warner at Coogee.
Four.
At 82 introverts. Says, grab a mirror of me. After copping broken ribs, which hurt to laugh, I'm going to be in serious pain if this week's podcast is as funny as last week's. You're safe. Hashtag Sid's pirate story. Hashtag you funny bastards. Hashtag pass the Panadol.
Arr, that was a funny story.
Well,
yeah.
Let me back it up with another good one. So here we
go. Look, I've had a purple patch. This one's pretty ordinary. But anyway, grab a mirror, this guy. Have a good hard look into that mirror. And hand in your mad man card. A bloke in the UK was all set to take off on a Bucks weekend when his wife wrote up a list of rules he had to follow.
Oh, I've seen a bit of this.
Whilst away. 29-year-old guy whipped was told by his wife that he would have to follow her 10 rules if he wanted to go to his mate's Bucks weekend. And everyone else attending also had to follow her rules. Now, listen to this. The list was no illegal drugs.
I'm out.
No cigarettes.
You're
no alcohol.
We're both out.
No strippers.
Oh, no way.
No fast cars, in brackets, taxis only. All
that mean?
I don't know. All phones need to be tracked at all times.
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
No swearing. Everyone home by midnight.
Mate, she couldn't even listen to this podcast.
And no gambling. So,
was it Vegas?
This is disgraceful. The wife shared the list of rules on Reddit, explaining that the rules were written up as the couple were happily married and devout Christians. Oh. Upon looking at the rules, Guy Whip said he was fine with it as it didn't include gay bars, male-on-male jelly wrestling, playing soggy sayos, or giving each other reach-arounds. It reminds me... That bit doesn't remind me, but I was at a... I was at a Bucks weekend once.
That reminds me, you're saying.
I was at a Bucks weekend
oh,
once.
Oh, one of your best there.
Up on the Gold Coast, and we cable-tied a big black sex doll to the back of the groom. Actually, I don't know why I had to reveal that the race of the sex doll. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really have any impact on the story. But it was a big black chick with a surprised look on her face. We called her Desiree. And anyway, we all went to play lawn bowls. They had the raffles on. And all the oldies went into the club to check out the raffles. We all stayed out there playing bowls, having a few beers. After a while, a little old lady that worked at the club said to me, "I think you've won some prizes in the raffles. We've got a few unclaimed prizes. Where's your tickets?" So I yelled out, "Hey, Nooms, where's the raffle tickets?" And he replied, "In Desiree's wallet." And there she was, proud as punch, bent over a park bench with tickets hanging out of her everywhere.
For JJ?
Everywhere. Phyllis, she just smiled and said, "No need to check them, dear. Collect your prizes in the club later." Phyllis gets it. It's a Bucks Day. This chick is married to, what's his name? Guy Whipped. This chick's a psycho. So grab a mirror, Guy Whipped, and grab a good lawyer and get rid of this man-hating crazy woman. That's all I've got to say about that.
Three.
At Cyril Sidestep. Grab a mirror, my auntie. Entering her 88-year-old dad's home unannounced, walking in and treating himself like an amusement park. 88.
Reminds me of a Bucks Day I was on.
Then proceeded to dob him in to his wife and other family members.
Boo.
# now banned from the computer. # paddle pop sticks. # sticky tape. # blue pills. # giving the bud... giving the boo-doo and credit card a bash. # future me. # 88, not out.
Nice one.
Two.
At Janus _ Matthias. Grab a mirror, Sharkies fans going into meltdown after two losses against pub sides. Actually, there's nothing wrong with that. I just want to remind people that Sharks have lost two sides, two in a row against pub sides.
Very good. Who beat that this week?
One.
Well, I'm happy to say this. At Dino Bing. Dean Bingley. Bingley. Yarnley.
Yenda.
Whatever. You're racist, mate.
Get on with it.
Grab a mirror. Brent Naden. For not following up a career with Stade Francais.
Yep.
You'd be famous as a bank at those... Sorry, you'd be safe as a bank at those famous owners' parties. # hide and seek. # ready or not, here I come.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Well done to all the creditors. They were some of the best grabber mirrors, and there's a lot that missed out that probably just would get in any other week. But Dino, I probably didn't do your last one justice, but it made me and Sid piss ourselves
very earlier good
on. Okie dokie, Sid. 2009 in round 17. It's Make a Wish round, and
another great initiative from the league.
Great initiative. We'll just leave that there anyway. We'll just park that.
Yes, park that there.
Of course, every week to help us preview the games, we get on the great man. He's, of course...
He's a stat man.
It's Andrew Ferguson from Rugby League Project. You can find him on Twitter at AndrewRLP. How you going, brother?
Well, good, guys. Yourself?
Very, very well.
We've had more efficient nights.
Yes.
Everything going well down that way? Any news?
It's Melbourne. There's no news down here.
The big 400, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Friday. Friday, and the Panthers take on the Titans at Pornhub Stadium in the Luke Swain Shield. $1.41, the Panthers. $2.93, the Titans. What are the stats saying here, mate?
Yeah, the Panthers have never, ever lost a game to the Titans that was played in July.
Well, write it in. Write it in pen.
Yep.
You're backing the Panthers, mate?
Bloody oath.
Sydney?
I've only got this to say. The Panthers will romp it home. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, boys?
Absolutely smashed it. $1.41 is absolute money for Jam.
Yep. I'm going them 13 plus.
Go 30 plus. The Knights take on the Bulldogs in the second game on Friday night at Ronald McDonald Stadium in the Michael Hagan mug. $1.44 the Knights, $2.80 the Bulldog. What are the stats saying here, mate?
On game day, it will have been 2,244 days since the Knights last beat the Dogs in Newcastle.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow, that's huge.
Hmm.
Well, they're about to crack that.
You would imagine so.
Who are you backing?
Yeah, I'm thinking the Knights will probably run up 30 or 40 odd in this one.
Sydney?
Yeah, I'm going Knights 13 plus.
As long as the Knights get through uninjured from Origin, actually, who cares? They're still going to beat the Bulldogs.
They will.
They will smoke the Bulldogs.
Pierce will be showing off his Man of the Match award. He's just going to go out there and romp it.
Saturday, and the Rabbitohs take on the Seagulls at Shotgun Stadium in the Reg Curran Cup. $1.59 the Rabbitohs, $2.37 the Seagulls. What are the stats saying here, mate?
In their last 18 games played in July, South have beaten Manly just three times, dating back to 1954.
Interesting.
Wow. That's another huge stat. So, what are we saying?
Manly. I think they'll be too good.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm. I was thinking the Rabbitohs. I'm not impressed by the Rabbitohs, but I think they're about to turn a corner.
No, I'm going with Andrew. I think the Seagulls. I think $2.37 is very generous given the form of both the teams in the last few weeks. So, I don't know. The Rabbitohs need to turn it around and turn it around.
They do, and I think they will this week.
The Broncos take on the Warriors at Daylight Savings Stadium in the Kevin Campion Cup, full credit of the boys' very own. $1.56 the Broncos, $2.45 at the Warriors.
When's this on? I'm clearing my schedule.
Second game on Saturday.
Ah.
Get home early. Stop betting and just get home. Andrew, what do the stats say?
The Broncos have actually won six of their seven games against the Warriors that were played in Brisbane on a Saturday.
Make that 7 out of 8. What are you saying?
Yeah, I'm picking Broncos here.
Sydney?
Yeah, Broncos.
Back the Warriors.
How can anyone ever back
I don't know,
Warriors.
But how can you back against them either? They just kill you. They burn you every week.
Yeah.
The Storm. I reckon I'd be 10 points higher up in that ladder if it wasn't for the Warriors. Storm.
We all would be.
Storm take on the Sharks at Rhonda and Kutut Park in the Dane Nielsen Medal. $1.34 of the Storm. $3.25 are the Sharks.
This is a huge game. Did you know it's Dane Nielsen medal round?
It is Dane Nielsen medal round.
Yeah. It's going to be massive down there, Rhonda and Kentut.
Anything else they're celebrating down there?
No, not that I can think of. Any stats coming out of this game?
Well, I've got two here. The Sharks have won 13 of the 25 games played between these sides when both of them have been legal. and as we know, it's a big name for Cameron Smith because he'll play his 283rd NRL game in a cap compliant side.
Very good. Who are you picking?
How many of those games has he refereed?
Most of them. I'm going the Storm in this one.
Yeah, I'm going the Storm, but as Beer Boy pointed out on Twitter, how good would it be for Gow to kick the final goal for the Sharks to beat the Storm in Cam Smith's 400th game?
Look, the Storm actually do this better than most as far as big occasions are concerned. And
they're due a loss.
As much as I hate to say it, I think they'll do this and do it pretty easy. The Sharks are in all sorts.
Yep.
I'm sure they'll turn it around and I'm sure they'll make the eight.
They could fall out of the eight this week.
They're in the horrors at the moment. Sunday, and the Roosters take on the Cowboys at Single Mothers Stadium up there on the Central Coast in the Wayne Singh Shield. $1.33 the Roosters, $3.35 the Cowboys. I wouldn't think so. What are the stats saying here?
Latrell Mitchell scored 153 points this year, which is just 99 less than what the Cowboys have scored this year.
Oh, Jesus. with that in mind, mate?
Roosters, big time.
Yeah, Roosters big time for me too.
Yeah, I don't see that being anything but a Roosters whitewash. The Tigers take on the Eels at our home ground at Wankbest Stadium, the jungle, the fortress, at Ben Watts-a-Duckworth Trophy. Sorry, in the Ben Watts-a-Duckworth Trophy. $2.15 the Tigers, $1.70 the Eels. What are the stats saying here, mate?
Of the 497 points that Mitchell Moses has scored in his NRL career, 242 of them have been when the Tigers were on the field, which is an average of 3.4 per game. When the Tigers aren't on the field, he averages 5.2 per game.
There you go. He's history. So who are we backing?
Tigers.
Yeah, I'm backing the Tigers. And that's Sid's rough punt this week. Panthers 13+, Knights 13+, into the Roosters, into the Tigers.
Into New South Wales?
Into Pierce, man of the match.
Yeah, I'm backing the Tigers. Who knows with the Eels who's going to turn up.
Exactly.
Dragons take on the Raiders at Coke Cockwash Stadium in the Ivan Henjak Shield. $1.90, take your pick here. What are you saying about this one, Andrew?
The Dragons, since 2011, the Dragons have only had one win in round 17, while the Raiders have only had one loss.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's interesting. What are you saying, mate?
That's interesting and pointless all at the same time, that stat. I like
it. That's what I'm here for.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Canberra to win this one.
Yeah, look, I think the Dragons have to turn it around soon, but it won't be this week. The Raiders will get up.
Not sure the Raiders are in great form either, but...
Still sitting in the top four.
I think they'll hang on in this, but it won't be a smashing by any stretch. The podcast, mate, don't tell everyone what's it called. How's it going?
Yeah, Fergo and the Freak. Good mix of random gibberish, and we actually did a very serious episode last week about CTE with a neuroscientist, which was, I was very much out of my depth on that one. So you get in there and check it out. We'll do all sorts of stuff on there.
You did half an hour on Gordon Tallis's brain, didn't you? What did you come out of that with?
It was largely silence.
You're a massive fan of Gordon Tallis, aren't you?
Not a fan.
Yeah.
And where can everyone find that? On your usual platforms, mate?
Yeah, mate, we're on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called now. I can't remember them all. We're on nearly everything that's out there at the moment. So, you know, we'll be spamming everywhere, every second day of the week.
All right, and the Patreon at Rugby League Project, please go and donate to that. It's a wonderful Rugby League resource. You can find the link on the Rugby League Project site. It's rugbyleagueproject.org. Andrew, we thank you very much for imparting us with your knowledge, wisdom, and facts. Of course, Andrew is...
He's a stat man.
Thanks, champion.
No worries.
Roll the sack. Open the sack. Empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Boy Sack Mail and Feedback Time. Thank you to everyone for the positive feedback for Craig Gower's episode last week.
Very popular guest.
If you're one of the few people that have got to this point in this podcast and haven't heard last week's, do yourself a favour, in all honesty. One of the great yarn tellers.
We've had a lot of new listeners this year. They've all jumped on board.
Yeah.
So I recommend to all of you to go back and listen to some of the old interviews that we've done as well.
Yeah. And as I said during the week... thank you very much to. We were overwhelmed in the first 24 hours. That episode was downloaded 19,000 times. That blew us away. That's about what we get for a week, a little bit
that's
under.
That's pretty standard now.
So, thank you very much. It's actually mind blowing. All right, the live show. We can announce a date.
Yes, we're booked in. Excuse me. Jeez. We're booked in for Saturday, the 5th of October, the day before grand final day, the long weekend in October. That's when we held it last year. But unlike where we held it last year, we're onto our third venue now. We keep skipping out on our bill and have to change venue.
We're like in the witness protection program. We've got to keep moving.
Yeah, you've got to keep moving, keep people guessing. But anyone that turned up to Penshurst Pub and then turned up to Penshurst RSL, they can surely make it one more stop to Mortdale because we've only moved down the road. Mortdale RSL is now accommodating us. It's like the Origin. Just councils are just fighting over us now.
That's right.
It's all the same council. That was a bad analogy. But
clubs are fighting over us. Venues.
We'll be at Mortdale RSL on the 5th of October. It is members only. It will be the same hours as last time. We will have a big guest. We're speaking with a few people at the moment.
One in particular. We're hoping to get over the line.
We're playing them all off against each other.
We'll be enormous. Yeah. Don't forget, too, the renowned gig we have on the 2nd of August. If you don't have tickets, there are singles and doubles available. There are no tables available
there
anymore.
There are very few singles available.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Get in.
You need to get in. Like I said, there's four guests, Kerry Hemsley, Jason Nightingale, Eric Groth Sr., and
yes,
of course, the great Chris Walker.
Yep.
They're all going to be there. Go on the Renowned United Facebook page. There's details there. There's a phone number about who you contact.
You speak to Matt Riley.
Yep.
On 0423 841 366. But you better be quick because it's nearly sold out.
Just a little bit more housekeeping. Don't forget the thank you very much to Albie for coming on tonight.
Yes, thank you, Albie.
A little bit of fun with us. Don't forget to go to Steel_Sports. Their big craft brewery day at Henson Park is in a couple of weeks. Don't miss it. It's a day for the ages.
I'll be down there.
Sid will be there signing autographs. Get there early. Make an orderly queue.
Got to be there early. Leave I can't sign my name after a few hours out there.
Of course, all those listeners with huge boobs, leave your tops on, men. Because that's not a good sight.
I sign them all at the end of the day.
Jeez.
So don't forget, go and buy a membership if you want to come along to our end of year live show. All the members will be receiving an email during the week with details to that.
Yeah, I think that's about it for this point in time.
That is it for this week.
We have a big guest next week. We're 90% confident he's coming.
Yes.
Saying that, we thought we had three guests tonight. So there you go. But we have a big guest, one of the great storytellers. Stick around.
Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy it.
It's going to be great.
But until then, close your eyes.
Good night. And I'm playing the jingle. Bye-bye.
Tomorrow I'll miss you. Don't be sharp, baby. I won't bite. Am I going to see some action, baby? Am I going to see some action? Gonna see some action, baby. Am I gonna see some action?